there will be no real non-controlled currency in the world.
For your banks.
Increasing the block size to 32 megabytes right now. What would be the top five arguments that would get hurled against me?
No, that's a good one.
There are a few that the big blockers got right.
Ching, like all these coins splash into the wallets of all the winners. I love that.
There's a new threat out there. It's crypto.
He's like
getting Sykes for Jeremy.
All right. Hello and welcome back to the Bitcoin Cash podcast, following Bitcoin Cash on its rise to global reserve currency. This is episode number 116, live at Bliss. Yeah, here we go. Let's get it. Woo! Audience. Real cypherpunk audio only. So it's all anons in the crowd. If you were here, you knew what was down, you know what was going on. But if you weren't, tough luck. That said, let me introduce my panelists. We've got Jet doing the producing, same as always. I'm your host, Jeremy, and to my right, starting with Fiendish Crypto. Fiendish, do you want to give a quick rundown for any fresh listeners to the BCH community that don't know your backstory?
So I'm Elliot, otherwise known as Fiendish Crypto. Been in the scene for several years, was hosting the 2020 conference in St. Kitts and Nevis, which was the last time I saw some of the people here. For everyone that's listening but didn't manage to join, hopefully you'll be joining us next time. These sort of networking events are so important. And it's kind of interesting, it's fascinating, because there's a lot of people here that I don't recognize their names, but I recognize their voices, and that makes it pretty... There's a lot of anonymous people here that are awesome. So come join us.
All right, next to him we have Ray. Ray, give yourself a little quick intro.
Hi all, and thank you. My name's Ray, and you may know me from my channel, Ray Uses Bitcoin Cash. I make regular Bitcoin Cash, pro Bitcoin Cash content almost on a weekly basis.
All right, and on my left we got Kalen.
Hi, I'm Kalen Kulianu. I work as a developer in Bitcoin Cash. I work on Electron Cash, Fulcrum, Bitcoin Cash Node. And I'm here too. Hello.
So, here we go. Now we got... And the crowd goes wild. So that's we got an easily pleased audience here, you know. Just introductions is enough. It's interesting you say that you come here, you recognize people's voices. I had somebody, you know, jokingly say that to me. Of course, you know, they knew who I was, but I had Callisti come and he said to me, you know, I'm actually quite reassured about being here. Like, he knows virtually nobody in MeetSpace IRL. And once you see people face to face, you shake their hand, it kind of makes a big difference, right?
They're real people in BCH, right? This comes as a surprise to people. You think, hey, there's just a lot of, you know, throwaway accounts and there's just one person there. There are dozens of us. Yeah, and it's really cool. I mean, you know, there are loads of people, and what I love is the fact that, you know, when speaking to you, and I know many people here, I've had lots of contact over the years, is that there's people from all kinds of backgrounds, you know, lots of different countries and doing different things. And I love the fact that, you know, when you meet in person, it is very different. It's much more intimate than just online, and it has much more value, in my opinion. And, you know, you can see that everyone from these different backgrounds are all united around this amazing technology, Bitcoin Cash, and as Jeremy said, will become one day a world currency. It's going to be used in every country on the planet by every person. All driven around this amazing thing. So, it's pretty awesome to be here. And I'm glad everyone else is here too.
And I'd also like to just say thank you so much, guys, everyone, for attending. We've got people from all around the world who have come to the conference. And I'd like to say thank you so much for giving your valuable time to come as well. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a big effort, you know. People were already trying to pitch us to have it next year in America. You know, they were like, oh, we have one in Europe, have one in America. But I think Europe's a bit underrepresented in the BCH.
Very much so.
And in the crypto scene.
We should keep it in Europe.
In general, yeah, exactly.
Right, Ryan?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ryan's nodding in agreement, for the record.
Yeah, exactly. So don't worry, you know, complain about your flight times. Like, you know, people have been making the effort, right? And I think meeting everyone here, one of the things that has hit me so far is when I was talking earlier to David Shattuck, and he was saying that in his mind, from 2009, Satoshi, you know, started the Genesis block, and that put the world on one of two paths, right? It's either freedom or tyranny, because the whole blockchain technology obviously has the potential to make mass surveillance more of a reality than it was in the beginning, right? And that really struck me. So as I was having dinner and I was watching, you know, people are laughing and having fun, but I sort of felt like maybe this is it. It sort of feels like we've got one re-roll. This is our one second chance at it. You know, in 2013, 2014, the vibe was there. It was a small crowd of supposedly aligned people with a chance to change the world. And, you know, we saw how history played out. It didn't come off. But maybe now CBDCs are an incoming threat. This time there's no redo, right? There's no second takes. So as much as I'm glad to be here and see everyone, I do see it as kind of potentially, you know, a world-changing moment in that way. Is anybody else getting that vibe?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a pivotal moment in our time. So if you know, I travel quite a bit and I speak to people from all around the world, and there's a common theme, like thinking about CBDCs. Like, this is something that people who are very crypto skeptical, people that are really, you know, they like cash, but they're really, really worried about CBDCs. This is a global phenomenon. And this is real. So this is, you know, ultimate control from the states. So yeah, and I can feel that too. You know, when you look online, there's that movement now with people really questioning BTC and the whole store of value narrative as it's crumbling, and people realize like it doesn't have any value. And this medium of exchange, which Bitcoin Cash is so super at, you know, it's still there. It's still the original Bitcoin idea. And I can definitely feel that movement now. And, you know, that's why I sold all my BTC, right? Because I saw it this year. It's like, wow, I didn't believe in it as a product, but I could really also see the narrative changing. The narrative is collapsing for many cryptocurrencies, not just BTC. But where the narrative is strongest and the community is strongest than ever is in BCH. So it's a time where it's exciting, right? It's electrifying. And yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a really great a re-roll. And this time
we gotta win.
This time we will win.
Also, like to say, it's a perfect opportunity for everyone to sort of get involved and step up, and everyone's got their own unique skills and abilities, and it's great we can sort of leverage that and really bring Bitcoin Cash to the world now. Get the wallets into the hands of every single person on the planet, so they can trade and use Bitcoin Cash just like how they'd use the legacy of currency.
I think like one of the things that happened recently was there was a Hausa translation for Electron Cash. Like, I feel like the sort of the global South is a great opportunity for cryptocurrency in general, or for private money, freedom money, like Bitcoin Cash. And I feel like that might be something that ends up happening in the short term or in the medium term. Like, you might see more of that, or at least that's a hope of mine. So that's pretty exciting. Like, you know, there's like 80 million people in Nigeria. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting thing to pick up on, because when we talk about the crypto narrative and about what's being said on crypto Twitter and about the SEC, you know, cracking down on people and this stuff, it's mostly happening in Europe and America, right? When the opportunity is to get freedom money, yeah, to Africa and to South America and perhaps parts of Southeast Asia. But I think the problem that the BCH community has certainly had, and I don't know, maybe this is similar in other cryptos, is that it's hard to create reliable links so that money is not wasted, right? Because those places are further away and they operate on their own culture and their own way of doing business. And so the BCH community has in the past done a great job actually of diverting resources there. There's been flip starters, there's been, you know, donations to QR codes, there's been charity efforts, there's been adoption drives, but nothing has really stuck. Like, if we could create one reliable pipeline, one reliable contact network or something from Europe and the Americas to one of those regions which would reliably produce results from money being invested, I think the BCH would definitely start to flow in that direction. But we've struggled to create and find those reliable people on, you know, both ends of the spectrum. What are we doing wrong there? What is it going to take to fix that?
Well, you know, it could be really something happening. It could be at the flick of a switch, as you know, like Ray from No Ones. You know, you've got someone there who's got his P2P app for BTC. So they've got allegedly over 1 million users, most of which are in Africa. And so there's already people that are doing great work in there. So they've already got access to this market, which can really benefit from, you know, something like Bitcoin Cash. And I really, and just taking that particular example, like you can see it's across the BTC network. It's also with someone like Ray, they're really questioning the whole narrative of BTC because it no longer works. And the people in Africa, of course, they cannot afford to pay for those transaction fees. It's insanity. So how are they supposed to actually use this? How is it supposed to benefit them? And this, of course, you know, for anyone with a brain, this is, of course, the most obvious place to start with cryptocurrency. You know, people who are debanked or, you know, the banking restrictions are so high, the costs are too high for the average person there. So, you know, what is the Bitcoin Cash community missed? I guess, you know, that one person. Right, that one person is already there. And Ray, if you're listening, do what's right. You know, you're on Twitter all the time and you're complaining and about BTC and about how it's not working and how it needs to be a medium exchange to offer anything for the world. We've been saying this, and people in BCH have been saying this since, what, 2016, 2014, 15, you know, and way before the split happened. How long has it been now since the split? 7 years? Yeah, it's been 7 years, yeah. Ray.
Hello.
It's been 7 years. Nothing's changing with BTC. So do what's right and start offering your customers, you know, a cryptocurrency that works for them, and join Bitcoin Cash today.
I'm another Ray, but not the Ray.
I'm getting called out.
I'm getting called out. But yeah, I think it's just a case of we need to drive that adoption and just get find more innovative ways of putting wallets into the hands of users in a more frictionless way so they can just trade peer-to-peer.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know, like I'm always like sort of I have like a dark imagination, and I worry that like so like the West will sort of screw up the financial system so badly, they'll start to do more draconian stuff. Like I feel like some of this stuff might just happen naturally where people
fantasy. Where have you been?
Yeah, I know exactly. Like it was fantasy until, you know, it's like happening more and more in an accelerated fashion where they just like sort of they're showing their hand. They're being, and then we can imagine like a near future where things, people are just like fleeing the traditional financial system. Like what happened to the truckers in Canada will seem like nothing, you know? I mean, I don't know. And if that happens, I think things will fall into place very quickly. Like people will want to trade with the global South, or they'll want to just circumvent the you know, whatever's happening, whatever they're doing. So that'll be an interesting time if that, you know, will be really call to action at that point. I know this is, you know, it doesn't really address the question of how should we reach out more to Africa now or to the global South. But I feel like that could happen even more organically, even if we do nothing. But I'm not encouraging we do nothing, obviously. we might be surprised because it's promising to become like a more chaotic time as far as finance, like the traditional finance system goes. Because it seems like they're trying to demolish it and like replace it with the CDBC or something, CBDC. So I don't know. we're living in interesting times is my feeling. So, and I think things are going to be, you know, we'll be like called to action more and more as in the coming years and months and years, perhaps. So interesting times, at least I have. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I really think about, though, is, yeah, we can call out Ray, but I agree. It's about one person. We just need one, because you can build a network of trust starting from one person, right? If there was one person that we had in Africa, like the BCH Argentina guys in South America, they're doing a fantastic job. You know, I've met some of them. I trust those guys, collaborate with them regularly, and we can go down to Argentina, and I know it's all going to be going. So maybe we just need to double down on that instead of worrying about Africa so much. And in either case, even if it was in Africa, the real question is, yeah, even if, like, we can't wait, we can't be reactive, we can't wait for Ray or anybody else to wake up and realize I've got to be the one. We've got to be able to create the conditions for those people to arise, you know. So yeah, is there a better way of doing that?
Well, this is actually delving into what I want to present at BCH Bliss, but that's actually like the critical part. And where I see that everyone can really help with this is with culture. Like, make BCH attractive. Make it so attractive, whether that's fun. Of course, every one of us really believes in it. We're very serious, right? But we don't want to appear like that. We want to appear like we're fun, nice people. Because that's the kind of thing that can make people want to join in, and those critical people, such as Ray. And also, just like to do a little shout out there, what you said about the Argentinian guys. Like, we've got there's BCH guys in Argentina that are doing a fantastic job with spreading BCH adoption. And they are really, again, committed to this for all the right reasons and trying to build that brighter future. And this is where it's also, you know, when you look at BCH, right, the community size isn't that massive. But how passionate is it? It's crazily dense. Because we've got now a conference, a BCH conference, in Slovenia, Ljubljana, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. A lot of letters, but not so many syllables. And later this year, I think in October, there's the Argentinian conference, right, from those guys. So what I'd say is, you know, thinking about the global south, like, how can we help that? Well, let's help those guys. So there's a lot of people that didn't come to this conference. You know, there's a lot of people that I know of that would like to have come, but they just couldn't for some reason. Go to that conference in Argentina. You know, I really think that, you know, some people complain about the cost of these things. And of course, it's expensive, you know, the flights, the hotels, the tickets to come in. But that is what really sends a signal out to everyone around, you know, whether it's, you know, online, whether it's BTCers, whether it's Ethereum guys, whether it's just the normal people, right, that are just like, I'm scared of CBDCs. Like, what's the solution? I've heard cryptocurrency can solve this. Hey, and they can see us. They can see the actions that we're taking. And they'll see that when, you know, you go to a conference such as in Argentina. So what I'd ask everyone that's listening, especially those that, you know, haven't come to a BCH Bliss now, support our guys in the South. Go to the Argentinian conference in October. I don't know if it's going to be in English or Spanish.
I think probably a bit of both. I think they're actually mostly planning to do it in Spanish. I've been talking to Ian about this because they kind of have a ton of local merchants and they have loads of merchants onboarded in Buenos Aires and surrounding areas, and they're going to bring them all in and have a huge, like, market day type of thing. So I think it will actually be town square type of thing where they can trade with each other. And then obviously anybody who's in attendance can also be a part of that, right?
Okay, so those of you that can speak Spanish, go, and those of you who can't, bring along Google Translate. Solved.
And also I'd like to mention that I believe the conference is in October, isn't it, in Argentina. So yeah, if you do have the opportunity, please do come along. Please do support every member of the Bitcoin Cash community, wherever in the world. Your support can make a huge difference. So please do lend your support as well. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think with those, you know, like, it's hard because in one sense, I know that those guys do such a great job of supporting us, right? Like, they, you know, they help to fund Flipstarters, and they are super passionate and encouraging.
Many of them came to the BCH conference in St. Kitts, you know, and that was expensive for them, but they made it, you know. So
when you were talking about it might be expensive, I was thinking it might be expensive, but it's a lot cheaper than tyranny. a plane flight to Argentina, yeah, might be the best investment, you know, you've ever made in yourself, you know. So I think it really comes down to trying to figure out how we win. And those guys are having a lot of success with those local merchant networks because it's more needed there, right? And I was talking to people today. I think over the last several years, the BCH community has been in a long process of only focusing merchant adoption in places that are sympathetic to it, right? Like Tacloban, like Townsville. Sunny did a great job in St. Kitts, like Argentina. Is it better for people who are not in those areas of density to instead try and create online links to those physical places, is it possible that we can like coordinate with the Argentina guys and say, look, if you need to outsource something to us, or maybe we can outsource something to them. That's not something I've really put a lot of thought into until this moment, you know?
Yeah, that's a great thought. And this is something I can't stress enough in the community. Like, it's decentralized. There's so many different ideas and thoughts about, you know, what's wise, what's good, and, you know, what people want to spend their time on. But if we're aligned, if we help each other, like, we achieve so much more. And this is the thing, decentralized does not have to mean unaligned. So I think it's a great idea. And I think, you know, it's a good thing to explore just by asking them, like, how can we cooperate? How can we help each other grow our networks? Because, you know, as we know, we help them, you know, we help them build. It's benefiting everyone, including us. But of course, they're more likely to return the favor when they can help us at some point. And that's, you know, the great reason why we're here, why we're networking in real life, is just to ask those questions, you know, like, how can I help you? Because I'm convinced there is a huge amount more than we can do. You know, for a little bit of ash in the air, maybe. A lot of time is spent on Telegram talking, but not doing. And I think this is the sort of thing where it can really create action. How can I help you? If you listen to this, like, ask that question to, you know, do it, you know, how can I help? Because I'm pretty sure that we could be spending, many people in the community could be spending their time that they're already investing in Bitcoin Cash being much more productive and helping adoption. So good question.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I should do that more. Yeah, you're right. I spend a lot of time talking in Telegram, so
it's fun. Yeah, right? It's entertaining. But you know, when you analyze, it's like, have I been productive? Have I actually helped Bitcoin Cash or moved the needle? Yeah, sometimes I.
Well, this thing about Telegram is interesting because we were talking about that over dinner, right? And I think it's really not an accident that it has become what it has become, right? And there's all those different channels, and there's a few main ones, and there's some that are a bit more shitposty and so forth, right? But none of it was an accident.
The ones I'm normally in.
the hot dog champion over right here.
I come for the shits and giggles, yeah. And nothing else.
Yeah, but it's a legacy, right? It came from the fact that BCH... was so heavily censored and suppressed on Reddit particularly, but also on Twitter under Jack before, you know, and there was clearly suppression going on. So the community became defensive. And what it did was it migrated into small cloistered spaces, right, where people could actually have real conversation and we could control the moderation. And that happened to be the platform that best facilitated that. So it's not an accident that everybody is in these little Telegram groups. But now the, you know, the situation has changed. That was winter. That was wartime type of survival mode, right? But now we need to do the opposite and we need to reach out. And the community has been quite successful at that, I would say, on Twitter. But those Telegram groups, we don't need to abandon them or leave them. We just need to make them more accessible, you know, because if that's where the energy is, if that's what people are already enjoying and using and passionate BCH community members are there, if you're someone new to BCH, you found it from some other source, how are you going to know? Like, I have on my Bitcoin Cash podcast website, I have a recommendations page, and there's a whole list of Telegram groups there. But I honestly don't know how many people find their way to that link of group, because once you get into one of them, you'll find your way into others because people are talking or cross-linking to each other. But you need to get into that first one, and if that's where the action already is, we just kind of need to, you know, kick the doors open and make it more accessible to people. What can we do in that regard?
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, sometimes some of the Telegram channels, like once they even show up, like maybe just be a little more welcoming. Although I think we're pretty welcoming, we're pretty fair-minded. Just, you know, be open to the fact that, hey, you know, like, if you the nicer you are, like the warmer you are, maybe helpful. You know, that just that pays forward. Like, that's just good positive karma for the universe. But we're really good with that. I think we're pretty good about that anyway. We're pretty fair-minded. You know, we like free speech and we like to respect people's intellects, and we're not like toxic or anything. But I don't know, just more of that, I guess.
So how do you get people that first?
Yeah, I don't know.
First group.
Yeah.
Do you think also we could perhaps maybe have like some kind of solution where we almost allow auto-enrollment, so we can just allow them to join the groups without sort of them having to sort of go through several hoops or hurdles to kind of just so they can join the group, but then at the same time there needs to be a balance between the moderation as well, isn't it? So we just make sure that, we don't have any trolls in the groups as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we already have a free-for-all channel, but what I'm imagining, right, is that we have, you know, kind of like a sales funnel of, like, new people's contact with BCH.
Sales funnel, I like it.
Yeah, but they must be, they're coming in from somewhere, right? Their first point of contact, it could be, obviously, the Bitcoin Cash podcast. It might be somebody that they always see posting on Twitter. It's probably not Telegram, if I had to guess.
It's not. Because if you type in Bitcoin Cash, Telegram won't come up, right? Because I don't know how the SEO works, but you know, you don't get those chats even in public groups that are coming up. So you'll get Reddit, you know, you might get the Bitcoin Cash podcast, especially if you go into videos. And it's a really interesting way of thinking about it. So I come from the corporate world, right? So I definitely think quite differently to many people in the Bitcoin Cash community. But what Jeremy just said there, I think, is nailing on the head. It's about funneling it. But thinking about Bitcoin Cash as you know, something that's, we are selling it. We're selling it to people. We're making them believe in this vision. We're making them believe in the product. And the onboarding process, so this is something companies thinking of, it's very important to companies, so the onboarding process, making sure that entire onboarding experience is really positive for that new customer, that new person, new entrant into that product or service or BCH. And it's a really important thing to think about. It's why I'm a big fan of Reddit still, because I see all the flaws of Reddit, but it's a good onboarding place because you can have stickies, you can have nice guidance and links, and you've got, you know, quite detailed posts that kind of formatting and structure. And I think it's really, really, it's also a good way of sort of showcasing that there's life in the ecosystem, whereas Telegram is sort of hidden away. But it's a good point to think about it as a community. Like, where do you want people to like be onboarded? Where's the starting point for Bitcoin Cash rather than coming in maybe via somewhere where, you know, Callin, you said that we have like a really positive community and not toxic. And I think that that's true. And I think it's so much better than it was. Right? I think the community is so much more positive today. But for sure, there is still toxicity. I mean, you'll never get rid of that with humans, right? If you have, and so there are certain places where maybe you would want them list to new people to not join straight away because they'll be confronted with more toxicity than somewhere else.
That's a good point. Yeah. So there's certain, I guess, certain Telegram channels are just more, just wrong.
Stay away.
Yeah, I think the subreddit's pretty good. That's a good point about the subreddit, and that it like, and then it also has probably good search hits, like for certain topics. You know, the subreddit's it's strong. I'm not really an expert. I'm not a programmer. I'm not an expert on social media. Sort of just trying to brainstorm with you guys. But
That's what this is about, right? Yeah. It's a free for all thinking thought process.
Yeah, true.
Do you use Reddit much?
Yeah, I do. Like, and so that's how even like I got involved with like even Omri. Like, I was there when they forked. They were like looking for programmers. I was like, hey, I'll join. I mean, Reddit has impacted my life strongly, but I feel like it's like current. I don't know. It's not like how it used to be. I feel like something's going on. AI censorship, something, bots. Like, I don't know. Something's going on with Reddit where it's not what it used to be. But
yeah, well, it used to be basically a charity, pretty much, right? I mean, the way it was run was at a cost, and the people really believed in the product. But then they set it up for a sale. So it's basically, of course, you have corporate interests, and it needs to be clean. So that there was a change. It was very, very real. So I mean, I can see the flaws in Reddit, but I still think it's probably the best platform right now as an onboarding place.
It's got like cultural significance for online people. It's got credibility still, like as a platform. People sort of still feel like it's like this hardcore forum platform that like smart people hang out in and talk about stuff. Like even with all its flaws, even though it's not what it was, but yeah, it is. It is a good, yeah, it's still a good platform in some ways. I don't know.
What about Instagram? What about TikTok? You know, I don't know if there is a ton of crypto stuff going on those platforms because I don't follow it as much. Myself, I'm not
too old.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I'm past it, you know. But that's the ones that we really need to be onboarding, right? And it's not a format that I'm well versed in or native to. And if we just stick in our little hardcore enclaves, we're not going to bring in new people. That's one of the reasons that I do the podcast on Twitch, right? It started on Twitch was because I knew that was a gaming friendly audience, a lot of young people involved in that. And I thought, okay, so if I'm at the top of at least one small category, crypto, then anybody clicking on that would be interested, right? But like when I made for this conference and I made that Abla 3-minute explainer video, I was amazed that that got far more like traction and interest straight away than a lot of the other stuff that honestly I put more work and effort into, just because it's easy to underestimate how much the hardcore cares about something versus just the general audience that is not seeing. Like, you can say something 10 times and somebody's missed it all 10 times, and somebody is always new to the community. So I think maybe we can do a much better job of making those very basic intro guides and making them visual and snappy and getting them on those other platforms.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, I agree with that completely. I have no experience doing that, but I mean, I'm a developer, but I think it's sort of only so much time in the day. But I respect
playing that, right?
Sure, absolutely. Just like through even if you want to do content where I like, hey, here's a Bitcoin Cash developer talking to you about, you know, the sort of the history of Bitcoin Cash and the technical side, and I'd be all, you know, reach out to me. Like, that sounds like, you know, whatever ideas you have, I'd like to be involved in, so I can help with that in that way.
How can I help you, man?
Yeah, let me know, man. Seriously, help me know. How can I help you? Yeah.
This may be a perfect opportunity, like we say, you know, with the technical side of Bitcoin Cash, collaborating with, say, content creators. It could really then sort of help to sort of distill a lot of these sort of quite complex technical issues and aspects into something that's sort of quite easily translatable. So I think there's definitely a lot of opportunity there as well. So
yeah, maybe this is some kind of an initiative we can spin out of this. Then my mind is always immediately going to action points. You know, like one of the things I think has been a massive success has been the memes, seize the memes of promotion.
Yes.
Telegram group, like that, just constant. For anybody who isn't in that, I highly recommend you go and join that on
my
Telegram.
Secret little group.
Here we go, the audience jumping onto it right now.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. But that's just generating up like the iterative process, the sort of hive mind intelligence of the community members in that group.
Yes.
Comes up with some amazing stuff. There's some that sucks, but there's plenty of hits in there.
There's plenty of hits. Yeah, and sorry, this is going back to what you said as well, okay, memes are really, really powerful. I think the Bitcoin Cash community is full of like really technical people, and I think you know, you're both in that line, and so they're thinking about even the podcast and everything, like really long. Have you ever watched TikTok?
Yeah. 6 second attention span. Maybe like 1 second. They've got to get their attention instantly.
The fact that you're shocked that your like snappy video had more hits is like, no shit, Sherlock. Like, welcome to 2024, where the average attention span of a young adult is 5 seconds. And I think this is something, it's a great thing that you've discovered that, because I think that that's a great aspect to sort of focus in on. You know, do we want to be growing at, you know, just for the technical people, the engineers, the people that are really, you know, kind of probably already in Bitcoin Cash already? Or do you want to go for like the generation that's going to grow up to, you know, to live in this world with either CBDCs or actually, you know, Bitcoin Cash is the future currency. So I want to see more of that kind of content, Jeremy.
Yeah, but that's what it sounds like to me. You know, maybe we can do a little focus group after this where we've got I'm sure between us we can dig up a few people that would be good test candidates.
Yeah.
Get a group going, you know, A-B test.
We just sit down for 24 hours consuming TikTok videos nonstop.
Well, that'll be our first TikTok. Boomers learn TikTok.
What did you take from this last 24 hours?
Yeah.
Watch our IQs drop and all of a sudden we can finally get that target market.
Exactly. Maybe we're aiming too high. But it's like coming back to what I was saying about the sales pipeline, right? Because I think it's, you know, I have grown the podcast and I started it very deliberately to speak to the hardcore because that's who I knew I could connect with, and also because in a funnel, you know, people have to get to the real meat of it at some point, right? Like, so maybe we need to be working that funnel upwards, you know, like we just are doing a poor job at the 10 second attention range relative to the total community resources, but we're doing an excellent job that. And I think that's true across Reddit or Telegram or on Twitter. You know, the BCH community has a lot of good arguments, and people will bring things up from the history, and everybody is very educated and stuff like that. Like, it's the bottom hardcore end is well taken care of. Maybe we just need a mindset shift to be encouraging that that more, not frivolous exactly, but that more surface level introductory content and mediums.
Yeah, definitely. What I think is, you touched on it, or you said this earlier as well, is just, you know, the repetition. Like, lots of people are new to the community. They'll just come in, they'll just check it out for a day or two or a week or 2 weeks and then drop back out again. But in any case, there's always new people coming in. And this is something that's it's very easy to forget for people that have been in the community a long time. So just repeating that basic information, you know, it seems like, well, I've said this like every week, you know, all the time. It's like, yeah, but your audience hasn't heard this.
And they've heard it and forgotten it the first time.
They've heard it
times.
And forgotten it, exactly. You know, they saw the hour and a half video, and yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information, of course, in that. So repetition's a really important thing. But I think it's just really good to just be thinking about these kind of things. You know, I think, Jeremy, you know, by far, you are the largest content generator for Bitcoin Cash, and so you will have more understanding of this than I think anyone in Bitcoin Cash. But you can see, you know, you're still growing, right? You're still learning, you know, how to grow your brand, how to grow your market. By the way, just a quick question: how is it going with the Bitcoin Cash podcast? Like, what's your user numbers like?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is going really well. Like, we just recently went past 2,000 YouTube subscribers, which is pretty cool. There was a bit of a bump on it where it, you know, it noticeably grew, and the audio downloads are at all-time highs right now. It was the previous high was in the low 1600s over a 30-day period around the time of the CoinFlex drama. Everyone got interested in BCH because of that, because we were the disaster that everyone wanted to find out about. So everybody just downloaded those like two episodes and then stopped listening. But then it's been building back up. And so now drama-free BCH is just breaking past the highs of drama-infused BCH, which I think is really quite telling.
That's amazing, I'd say. Like, it just gets me excited. Like, where are you going to be at when the drama comes back? Because this is BCH.
Let's start
right?
some.
Hey, we've got 3 days here in Slovenia. I'm sure we can start something.
BCH beefs. That's going to be our next thing. Yeah.
Like WWF, like sort of like the fake beefs, like WWF, yeah. Like wrestling, like just do it for the attention. Dude. I don't know. Yeah. Although, I have a question. So, was the increase in engagement and viewership, was it sort of because of the price action too? Like, I would imagine that brought some interest, or I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. If there is a price bump, then I do notice it, but it's too, like, I don't have enough detail about that. Necessarily the podcast, like, I publish them on my site. You guys can go have a look at them, bitcoincashpodcast.com/stats, and you can have a look at the kind of metrics I have. Obviously there's more in the YouTube dashboards and all that sort of stuff, but I'm honestly not the best at digging into all that, and probably I need to get some advice. I need to hire somebody who does know these things to tell me. But I think if the price goes up, it makes a little bit of a difference. But like we were talking about before, my content is so detailed that it's not, you know, it appeals to people who don't care if the price is up or down so much. Maybe it's that surface level stuff we need to be hyping up. When the price goes up 10%, we all need to make TikTok memes for a week saying BCH to the moon, and then link it to something for them to grab onto.
Also, as another BCH content creator, one thing I have noticed as well is the price does make quite a bit of a difference. From my perspective, is it has increased engagement and curiosity, definitely in the asset class. But also, it's one thing I have found out is the frequency of posting. That's probably made the biggest difference to my channel. Whereas, just a year ago, I was under 100 subs, and now I'm over 600 subscribers. So that's like a 6x just in under a year's growth. So it's amazing. But just that sort of continuous publishing of content, but at the same time, of course, the c- can't just publish anything, you've got to sort of keep improving and finding new, fun, innovative ways. And even with my content as well, I try and think a little bit outside the box as well, and just sort of try and make it fun and light. Sometimes fun and lighthearted, and sometimes something maybe a little bit more technical as well. So I just like to vary it quite a bit.
Yeah, and this is a bit of a call to action, I think, to everyone, because Ray and I are not media trained, right? We didn't work in marketing or in sales or in content production or something. I was just like, this is a gap that needs filling. I'm gonna get in there and make some effort, and then Ray has, and a lot of other people have, and you know, you get better by doing it. And for a lot of people, yeah, if you're doing something else productive in the community, I'm not saying we all need to be making content all day, but if you find yourself kind of at a loose end or just going back to posting the same argument to the same troll account on Reddit or something for the 50th time, just don't worry about it. They don't matter. Like, just go fish in another, you know, lake somewhere and have a bit of a different strategy. So that's something I think we can be smarter about overall.
I'd like to pitch an idea.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I think I've already said it to you, Jeremy, but I'm going to pitch it again so maybe more people can listen to this and think about this. So just thinking about like the whole TikTok thing and just making like a more lowbrow, low attention span content. All right, here's the concept, right? So there's you and I, it doesn't necessarily have to be me, certainly you and someone else, like playing a racing game or something. And people can bet against who's going to win. So live, right? But here's the kicker, is there's like a QR code on the screen for each person that's racing. And you can send Bitcoin Cash this QR code. Like, the more Bitcoin Cash you send, the more electrical signal it sends to the electric cable that you've got around you, right?
Torture.
Yeah. Like, obviously safe, right? But it just shocks you. Just like a little shock. Like, imagine how funny that'd be. So you both go, shit! Just knocked over the water.
I love it how this started with, it doesn't have to be me. Shit. Definitely it's not me.
Like, just think about how funny it'll be. So, like, you know, the more BCH you're sending, you know, you're Jeremy's shitting himself in his chair right now, losing to a race. Right? You're rigging the system. You're betting against him. And then some other guy's like, fuck this. I bet they shock the other guy. And so Basically you've just got the two people on it being shocked to shit during this entire funny race, right? And so you're getting transactions that are going up live during this race. And, and I have to admit, like, that would get me spending BCH.
All right. Okay, we're going to get the defibrillator out. I think you've got to volunteer for this, mate. After this is your idea, you and me with a green and a red QR code, bet to win and shock, and then transaction to any of those four, and then we'll play, you know, best of three on Need for Speed. Yeah.
Maybe not just shock, but also, I mean, just as another content creator, most of my videos I do stick my QR code up there. And I want to just say also, as a content creator, that by having my QR code and receiving donations, it makes a huge difference every time, even if it's just a few cents, a few dollars, or I've had some quite generous donations, so thank you all for your contributions. It really gives incentive to, I kind of think, the thing is, holy smokes, I better get out and say, hello, Bitcoin Cash fam, and start filming. So it does make a huge difference. So I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, and that's an action point. Yeah, everybody can take away is if you're watching someone in the BCH community, how hard is it, honestly, get out your wallet and send them 5 cents? Because, yeah, even just the dopamine reward of being like a real person watched my thing and enjoyed it. I really try and do that on every kind of, whenever I see a BCH QR code, basically, I'm going to be scanning it and sending it a few sats, you know?
I should do that more. That's inspiring. I should do that a lot more. I should just tip more in general. Like, yeah, definitely. Because it does, even if it's little, like, it's motivating. It can brighten your day. Like, and that can make it, yeah, absolutely.
Here's one other angle I think that we can touch on, which is so attracting or engaging with people on new platforms at higher frequency, lower attention span, that would be great. But one thing I've really noticed from this conference so far is Ryan's wife, Jessica, is here, and it was really interesting.
She's called Jessica?
Yeah.
Nice. This conference is for your wife.
There you go. But she, you know, on the first night when she was here, you know, she was kind of here more for a holiday in Europe, right? She wasn't so much engaged in the BCH stuff. And I, you know, watched over the next couple of days. And now she's really starting to clue into it. And the key moment was when we were having dinner last night and Jonathan started talking about how he got into Bitcoin and how he had this whole story of how he'd been basically like broke and he'd been in a van and he'd moved his family to Portugal and all this stuff. And just, you know, it was interesting because I'd seen her for, you know, 48 hours, maybe kind of not really click with anything that had been mentioned or discussed, even when we tried to explain or bring it into it. But just seeing him have that moment of vulnerability where he was, you know, really expressing himself and saying how hard it was and how much he'd kind of sacrificed for it. Suddenly I saw the light go on in her eyes. Like, this is what all these guys, you know, and girls, but mostly guys, are doing here. You know, this is why they've all flown. They all have some kind of story like this that has brought them here to all meet up with each other, right? So like every episode of the podcast, except this one, I usually start with asking people, what's their Bitcoin story? Maybe we can find a way to, for the community to somehow, you know, have a standard format or a meme of, I got into Bitcoin because, or something like that. And everybody can make some of those short videos. And then if we compile them on a channel and start putting them out there.
Short videos, I'm in.
That's an excellent idea. And I feel like I want to express my story more and like in a way that would gauge.
Because
I feel like it's really interesting. My story is, and other people's, I want to hear their stories. That's a really good idea, man. And I think it, people could relate to that. Like when they see, it's sort of like a testimonial type of thing. It's like a human story. Yeah.
Oh, so Callum, we've got you on word. You're going to do this, right? You're going
to
join
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I would like to do that. If someone like, people like hand me, you know, if you just remind me, like to be like, hey, let's do this.
All right, so Jerry, you're going to say exactly what he has to do, right? And then you make the video and yeah, I think that's a great idea.
I'm down for it. Like if you want, yeah, just tell me, I'll do it.
And let's get everyone in this, right? Everyone, basically, if you get a piece of paper and sign it up, right, to be able to come into the conference tomorrow. It's like, you got your NFT? That's actually only half the deal. you got to create this video.
Pray I don't change them again. Darth Vader thing, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Do we have anyone, is there any thoughts in the audience? Does anybody else want to chip in with a question or any thought? I don't know, put your hand up, maybe I'll come hand you the mic.
Ryan, do you want to come up?
Here you go.
Yeah, just want to share, when my wife was listening to that story, I think she just saw like a family, right? So you know, Jonathan took his whole family and decided, hey, we're gonna go live life another way, and you know, her as a mother and our two kids, and like, wow, a man was willing to pick up his whole family and move in another direction. Like, this is bigger than just people speculating on a coin. Like, they really believe in this. So from like a maternal thing, like, wow, like to do that, you know, it really takes some stones, you know, to give up the life you had for potentially to create a better life for all of us. And that's why we're all here. And just wanted to touch on something you said too, Fiendish, that you know, people humans are rather simple creatures. We move towards pleasure away from pain, and a lot of what we do, we see the pain coming, but also we have to show like there's pleasure in it too. So like we're, you know, showing that Bitcoin Cash is, you know, creates, you know, friendships and prosperity, and you know, we've you know, I think moving towards pleasure is a lot of what BTC has done because their coin number has gone up. Well, our number is going up too, you know. We're actually outperforming BTC. We have a
for
lot
one year.
For 1 year now. Many years to come. So, yeah. And, you know, it's that mix of finding what makes people click. Is it, are they here because they're moving away from pain, or are they moving towards pleasure to connect with people?
And I think this is, like, for me, that's a really great point. And this is something that, you know, I've said many times, and I really believe it. And I think that we've got, the BCH community has overall got much better, is the fact that people are painting a light. They're being much more visionary. What is it we're moving towards? We're moving towards the pleasure side, right? But in a good way. Like, this is the great future we're building. This is so much more attractive, as opposed to, you know, and I talk about it myself too, and I think it's an important talking point of CBDCs, like this alternative future. It's important to be aware of that. But if you just use fear to sort of make people come in, that's not a very attractive thing, right? So, you know, talking about that as a point, you know, and making people realize like what the fight is about
I think it's important so they understand, but the vision has, you know, it should be, I think it should be very much on the, you know, coming towards the pleasure, the light, you know, you're joining this thing because like, this is going to make my life better. This is going to make my life, my children's life, the people around me better. And I think this is I think Jeremy would agree with this. We've seen a transformation here over the last 2-3 years in the community. And just looking at the memes, like this meme group, I think is a great, you know, if you look at the memes today, they're so much more fun and so much more optimistic, so much more positive than they were in the past. And I'm pretty sure that we'll see, you know, of course the price helps, right? But we'll see more people then looking into that, into the community because of that. So, oh shit, okay. These guys are passionate, right? And it's really clear. That's very clear about BCH is they're passionate, but they're also having fun. Like, this is positive. I want to join this group.
We're having fun, and we have a real market opportunity from the fact that no one is really trying to tackle payments. You know, Sailor does not believe that is the real value. We believe it is the value, that payments is valuable. No other coin is attacking payments. You have prominent people giving up on Lightning openly, and they're revisiting the ideas of the past. And we've kept them alive and kept the fire going. And yeah, and I've never been more bullish on BCH than I am today.
Shit, and I know you've been pretty bullish in the past. That, can one be that bullish? Does anyone like think with Michael Saylor, like when I see him speak, I really think like, he's working for BCH, right? He's one of us. He's undercover. He's just destroying it out there. He's a good double agent.
Did you want to say something?
I don't understand. Like, to me, it's like it's so ridiculously captured that I just it's so dystopian. It's like watching. It's like participating in your own abuse. Like to listen to him talk. So I haven't actually like sat down for more than a few minutes, but yeah. I mean, he's like I don't know. I just can't.
Yeah, even in just promoting markets, you know that you know everyone's very excited to see the BTC ETF. And you know him going out there declaring that no other coin will get an ETF. I mean, we're all here for free markets. You know, like, is it really a free market if only this guy gets an ETF or that guy gets an ETF? If you just believe in the concept of free markets, it doesn't make sense. You know, and yeah, and you know, I implore anyone that's listening that's not you know picked up the book yet, Hijacking Bitcoin. You know, I spent a lot of time on my plane ride. You know, I felt like I lived it, but reading it, man, it's so well written and understand the perspectives of people just taking this information that may not know the past. They're only being fed what they're told now. And it's very well written and it just, it's not biased. It just said, this is what happened. You know, you make up your own mind in a sense. And yeah, super grateful to be here. Super proud of Jonathan, who just stepped out to spend a little time with his family. But a lot of hard work went into this. Me and Jonathan and Jeremy sat on a phone Zoom call every week and put a lot of hard work into this. And grateful for everyone that made the trip around the world. I know it's not easy. Took time away from your family and spent your hard-earned Bitcoin cash to get here. And really grateful for that, guys.
Also, I'd like to say, thank you as well, guys. And it's a perfect opportunity to also spend Bitcoin Cash, isn't it? We've got a wonderful system. A lot of infrastructure has been set up with many, many merchants all around Ljubljana and even in Bled in the north, which I believe you've been to, Ryan, as well. And I think it's just wonderful. And I just feel very, very lucky that, you know, we have this solution here, because not only from the technical side, Bitcoin Cash works very, very well, but we also have it from this the side that we actually focus on the payments aspect. So I feel we've sort of got a winning recipe. So I'm just feel very, very grateful.
Yeah, and we're here to celebrate something very special. The reason that we said we have one more real roll of the dice here is because we ran into a static block size. And after May 15th, whenever that block clears, that fear of BCH is gone. Gone forever. And the prospering ecosystem will not run into that wall again. And this is a huge thing. I know we're not up against our wall yet, but in the early days, no one thought that wall would have been an issue. And we can clearly say after May 15th, you're comfortable to come build your businesses on Bitcoin Cash. Fees will not destroy you. You will have a tool for economic freedom for as long as these blocks get confirmed on the blockchain. We're in good shape.
And also it's built, I think, after the 15th, it's likely that then Bitcoin Cash can adapt for exponential growth as well. So suddenly, you know, if there is an enormous demand, the network will just be able to handle it, and there'll be no problems. It'll just go transactions go straight through. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, and the whole motivation for it really was like that was the shilling point. That was how they captured BTC. Like they happened to have that limit there, and then that was exploited by whomever, you know. I think it was like the CIA or something, but whoever did it like that, you know, they just like hit there. And so we don't have that weakness. Like, you know, the consensus, like the contract, like it's like in the constitution of BCH that like the block limit will grow with the usage, with demand. Like it's not even, it's part of the agreement. So that's pretty encouraging. You know, it's just, it had to be done because otherwise who knows? Who knows how they'll get us? But yeah, that hole is plugged. So that's good.
Exactly, that hole is plugged, and I think that's the important thing. And it's a really important hole to plug. You know, for me, that is really the feather in BCH's hat, because it is the whole reason for that split would have been solved by this particular, you know, algorithm. It's fantastic, you know. And you know, I think if it could still be the case that when there's a huge, massive adoption of BCH, that algorithm will not be able to keep up, right? But that's the great thing, because it might mean that there's a block or two that are really full, right? But the algorithm will adjust. And so even if there couldn't be a consensus to up the... because this, you know, the block size could still be increased larger, right, than the algorithm. We could still, you know, the community could still come together on that. But if we don't, right, and that doesn't matter. We just have to wait, and it will clear, and then all the block size will grow, and it will adapt. So it really gets rid of this bottleneck and this problem that from ever happening again. What I would really ask, though, is for everyone in BCH, is like, this is fantastic. We should be proud of this. And I do think, you know, everyone that's listening, shout out about the upgrade and make it really clear what's happening here, because this is really important. And on the other side, like, keep your ears and eyes open, because that was plugging one hole. We don't even know where the other holes are.
Yeah. And we're up against some very, like, motivated and resourceful actors, like state actors, right? Like, you know, like, if you accept the hypothesis that perhaps there were state actors involved in the capture of BTC, then they're very resourceful and they're very insidious people. Like, so... Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't know what hole they'll discover, what weakness, like how they'll fracture things, like if they try to, or, you know, keep our fingers crossed. Like, but sort of become more resilient against that over time. So, you know, we've shrugged off a lot of different sort of forms of shenanigans in BCH. Like, that's one of the great things about BCH too, that we've been resilient against like sabotage to some degree. So just underscoring your point that we don't know what holes they might exploit in the future, but hopefully there aren't any. And if there are, we'll, like, you know, we'll fix it.
It's hard to look ahead, but I would also mention that, you know, the state actors are usually pretty slow to figure things out. Luckily, I feel like they've had an extra 7 years to figure things out, and they're starting to catch up. You know, that's kind of the discouraging part when you talk to our There are cypherpunks still within Bitcoin, but I just, you know, try to be empathetic. Like, hey guys, we could have been here by now. You know, we were way ahead. You know, before Zelle and Venmo, like, Bitcoin was that real, you know, peer-to-peer payment solution. But now they're competing. But we still have, non-custodial will always be, you know, a huge resource that they'll never be able to overcome, and why blockchains will flourish, and hopefully flourish in a way that, you know, is in a good way, as Jeremy mentioned. Like, it's either going to end up as a, you know, freedom for people, or, you know, as CBDCs come, there's going to be real state solutions. And, you know, if you don't know how to use crypto yet, for anyone that's listening, I know everyone in this room understands, but if you don't know how it works, you should, because it may be your only real opportunity to express yourself economically freely. And, you know, that's what gets me fired up. That's what gets me to hop on a plane and come halfway across the world to visit all these other crazy people that believe in that as well. So,
and they are really crazy. I can attest to that.
But it's super excited to hear more about Cash Tokens. You know, we got Cash Tokens last year. It was a real DeFi solution. You know, we tried SLP, we tried Smart BCH, but the protocol layer, now we have a real solution, and excited to see what else gets built on there. And a lot of people have talked about, you know, getting some stablecoin infrastructure built on there. You know, there's real Tether demand in the Southern world, and just creating these other solutions that DeFi can create. And those things will cause the blocks to fill up. And now, as we hit on, and that'll create create demand for the coin. And but you know, it's what's I want to touch on too is the fascinating point that you know, we're climbing up the ranks. We've climbed up about 15 ranks in coin market cap over the past year or so. We're getting attention from, you know, big people are talking about crypto every day. Yeah, Charles Hoskinson of Cardano looking to do partner chains, and you know, it's
Chris Wall, who is coming to BCH Bliss tomorrow, right? Oh no, he's not coming.
Chris Wall.
Eric Wall. okay. Eric Wall, you're... it's disappointing. We'd love to have had you here.
I do so.
Sorry.
but they're talking about us for a real reason, and while it's nice to hear that, you know, from the conversations we have, we don't really need them. You know, I think they're speaking to us because we are climbing closer to their coin in market cap. We're up to about $10 billion in market cap. So while we feel small, there's a lot of money around here laying around. So it's there's some real opportunities. And like I said, there's real reasons to be excited about BCH. We have two conferences this year, which is incredible. So yeah, like I know you guys mentioned, in case you're new to the stream here, come down to Argentina, work on your Spanish. And those guys are doing, those guys do amazing work down there. They're very passionate. I got to meet some of them at St. Kitts. And I think they have a real need for crypto down there. And also there's some real political changes that, you know, may or may not favor us in a sense that if, you know, whatever coin they're super bullish on. But if Malay is a real anarcho-capitalist and believes in free markets, you know, you could see flourishing BCH adoption down there. But it really depends on what we do. People will take us more seriously as our community is more aligned, and that's why they're talking about us, because they see the alignment that's happened over the last few years.
Oh, cool. I look forward to going down there in October. So yeah, okay, all right. Our host Urs is coming back now to the stage. He sort of left room for us to express ourselves, but. Yeah.
Well, first off, does anybody else in the audience have a question or a point you wanted to raise? Or over here?
Yeah, I'd just like to add to the search for the platforms through which we can reach out to the wider community. I think one such underutilized one is conferences. And I don't mean just having BCH conferences, but BCH people going to crypto conferences. So I would like to tell people, please don't be afraid to go even to a BTC conference. You will not be harassed. Unlike in the online space, the reaction that you're going to get is curiosity. It's going to be very surprising for the other crypto people. How is it possible for someone to be a fan of BCH? And they really want to know why. So really, don't be afraid. You will not be harassed. You will have a very curious audience that you can explain yourself to.
Yeah, this is a really great point. This is something that we were discussing, I can't remember, it was like a year ago, just about sponsoring some, you know, one or two people. I think Jeremy's name was also on that shortlist, just to basically get people who can speak quite well, who can communicate into conferences, BTC conferences, just, you know, just to go there as a normal pundit, but to speak to people, to really talk about Bitcoin Cash in a convincing manner. You know, they can answer questions convincingly, and just to pique people's curiosity. And I think that's a really great point. I think this is something that is... really could be a focus. It would have a big impact. I guess one of the main distractors is those BTC conferences usually are quite expensive, right? So I think that's... Have you been to one yourself? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think this resonates with me a lot, actually, because I've seen that. And I mean, it's true that the online toxicity is less. It's much harder in person to really be an asshole, especially when there's other people around, because suddenly your social rep just plummets through the floor, as everyone can just see this guy's the disruptive asshole, you know, like that's much harder to pull off face to face. But I have actually had that same reaction of people being like, oh, you're a Bcasher, you're the first one I've ever met. And then they want to know, like, how and why, and they're just a bit, yeah, stunned. And then you explain to them a little bit, and I think they're usually a bit overwhelmed, honestly, is what they come away from it. They're expecting you to be a brainless moron, because that's their image of it. They're expecting you to say, oh, well, in 2017 big blocks was the answer, and we should have made 10 trillion transactions in terabyte blocks, gigamegs, or something.
And
like
we should
that.
Allow courts to reverse transactions. Yeah, you know, these sort of brainless arguments.
Yeah, yeah, they're expecting something like that. And when you say, well, you know, I've been involved in Bitcoin for a long time, I think it's important for it to be a peer-to-peer payments mechanism. That was the original vision. That's still my vision today. Here, let me show you. Have you transacted much? And then you walk them through it, and then they come up with all the same arguments. We know, you know, Lightning Network, whatever. And then you say, do you have a Lightning wallet? Can we try it right now? Oh, wait, is this custodial? Yes, it is. Well, there we go. We can see the problem. Or, no, it isn't. Send me a transaction. Oh, wait, it failed. And you can demonstrate it right there. And in some cases, you will actually make them upset and angry. People don't like having their beliefs challenge like that, particularly if it's in front of other people, if it's just you and them talking. You know, if you're isolated, you can usually get a bit further. If there is any kind of audience, you know, two or three other people, especially if it's women and there's a guy there and he's starting to look like an idiot, you will notice this for sure. They will get very upset and angry that they're thing that they probably are known for, you know, in their local scene as being, oh, I'm a Bitcoin guy and all that. If that's getting challenged and torn apart publicly, it's very distressing for them. So be aware to anybody trying this strategy, you know.
There's also another advantage with, for example, say going to a Bitcoin or even a Ethereum conference is the barrier to entry is less because they're already participating in the crypto ecosystem. So they'd have more of an open mind as opposed to, say, a complete a newbie that's coming into the crypto space. So I think that way it could actually help to open more minds in the process.
I hope so, yeah. Although there's the counterpoint to that. I hate to bring a counterpoint, but then people sort of get tribalistic about their coin, right? So
no, that's a lie. No, that's not true. I disagree.
whereas maybe
BCH is the best, and that's simply that.
Yeah, obviously.
No, you're right. Of course,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, so there's, I guess, a newbie, complete newbie would be like an open canvas, and then I guess. But the thing that always gets me is with the BTC people, like, we have so much more in common with them than we do with, like, I don't know, some guy working at JP Morgan or something, you know. Like, you know, we're on the same team, man. Like, just understand who the enemy is. Understand that they've actually thrown sand in your machine, man. Like, we're on the same team.
I think you're talking about OG Bitcoin, is it? Because from what I see, a lot of the new people that come into Bitcoin, so since 2020, they are buying Bitcoin because money.
Yeah, it's the number go up.
And so, and just that, like, that's it.
It's overwhelming.
So I would say that there's probably not that much. Of course, everyone in BCH wants the numbers to go up too, right? We want to have more wealth, but that's not.
But then you see things like, did you see there was that Bitcoin conference where Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gave like a sort of a keynote address, or he's like, this is freedom money. Like, I promise you that we'll keep this open, and this is freedom. It's custodial, like freedom. And like, to me, it was like, all right, but yeah, you need to be able to transact. Like, you know, like, it seemed like there's a disconnect because you hear that people believe in Bitcoin because of freedom. And then there's like that disconnect where you can't actually use it really. Like, it's not practical for, except for like 0.1% of the world population. Even then, it's not practical. Like, like, you know, like, it's so frustrating to me because there's a number go up people, but then there's the people that should know better. Like, how do you get through to those people? Like, what do you do? I have no idea. I'm like really bad at this.
Well, I mean, I think honestly, we don't really need to. I think this is the wrong battle. There's two kinds of people. There's the ones who've been there long enough to see it all fall apart and who are still excusing it or explaining it to themselves in some way. And there's the ones who joined up for the new vision and they're bought into the new vision. You're not really going to change their mind. I think where the real action is that I've noticed as well, when I had Aaron Day on the show, he was talking about it, and Charlie from Resist CBDC, is there's a lot of people who are sort of anti-CBDC. And we were talking before, we can't be an anti-brand. We can't be the hater coin that just the world's a terrible place and the government's going to wreck everything. You know, you need to have a positive vision. You need to be like BCH's, you know, hope or optimistic or freedom. You need to have that. But there's a lot of people that are scared about that CBD stuff, and they don't put up with any nonsense, because if you can make a transaction with them, they can put the pieces together in their mind, like, this would be viable, you know, that you and I can do a deal now and I could do it with my friend and bang, you have a P2P economy. So I think that's also something that we need to try and be better about tuning into those voices, because there are more and more of those people, yes. Maybe gold bugs or other things, as the tyranny controls are increasing, they're starting to wake up. And maybe in the past they didn't like crypto because they thought crypto was the threat, but they're starting to come around to, no, maybe crypto is actually the solution.
Yes, you know? And what I'd like, just to go on for the slight side point, but with just thinking about that, like, I understand the fear with crypto actually being the problem, because you know, the government's currently going after mixers, and they're even going after the developers of mixers, and this is something that sends sort of shivers down my back.
Yeah,
because mixers, I can imagine, because mixers are really required, or, you know, Cash Fusion, whatever it is, Tornado Cash, to be able to really have that privacy, right? Otherwise, we could end up building the monster that we're fighting against. Taking it back a bit about what you were saying, then I do agree, like, that's the wrong market to go for. Like, those people deep in BTC, they're actually a very tiny, tiny, insignificant percentage of the population.
The world population.
Yeah, the world population.
Yeah, true.
And and so, you know, you spend a lot of effort, but for what? And so I really, you know, I agree with Jeremy. I think that the people that everyone should be in the BCH community or should be focusing on is the people, you know, maybe it's the people that are scared of CBDCs, maybe it's people that are just very interested in having highly decentralized, they see the benefits of decentralized, you know, information flows or whatever it is, because that's where the real number gains can happen. And what I think is that when you focus on that, when you focus on, like, the people that are already, that are neutral, it's much easier to sort of get them in, first of all, because they don't have all this propaganda against, you know, BCH. But once you do that, you'll have, like, those key people in BTC, they'll switch. You know, thinking about Ray, the reason why Ray is really starting to lean into Bitcoin Cash is because of the positivity, because of the actions that BCH are taking on its own, not because he's been... because he's been particularly targeted, or, you know, and I think that's where BCH needs to sort of stand on its own feet. So stop using BTC as, like, the target, because it still shows, like, a weakness. It's
that's
like,
true, actually. Yeah, that's a good point of view. That's true. No, but I guess that sort of came up because people were saying, oh, maybe we should go to BTC conferences and, you know, and reach out to them, and you'd be surprised. And sort of this is the caveat to that, or the pitfall, and that maybe you're not going to get too far, and maybe you should focus somewhere else. You know, just the counterpoint to, there's only so far you can get with that, I guess, with BTC people. But yeah, you're right. I think we should, people like libertarian types that really want to, you know, people that are like gold bugs or people in New Hampshire that sort of want to form communities that are resilient to federal shenanigans, like, maybe those people are much, they're much more promising, because they're actually doing stuff in the real world, like, they want to change the world, you know, it's like, it's positive energy, like, yeah, I agree, yeah.
here's another angle on it. So I mentioned before David Shattuck, for anybody who doesn't know, who does A Fifth of Gaming, and if you don't know that, you should go and check it out. It's absolutely amazing, whether you're going to be a user or not. I'm sure everybody can see where the market is, what the point of it is. And he was telling me this story about, like, that project, he's had it in the works for many years. He was using it himself, and then he sort of started pivoting it into a BCH-related thing for the payments and making it competitive bracket, I don't know, maybe a year ago or 9 months. And that's kind of come to a certain point where he's got some tournaments running and all that, but he's a coder. He's building that site, and the people involved are building that site. But he told me for the first time he had somebody reach out to him who was a Magic the Gathering tournament organizer, right, who finally found it and thought, wow, this is a useful tool. This is something I need. And so they started talking, and they have done, like, sort of one demo tournament or something like that. And the guy instantly had, okay, this is close, but I need this, and I need this, and I need this, I need this. But David was amazed, because he has been working so hard to get people into his tournaments, because that's not his thing, you know, running Matic. He can do it to prove the point, but it's for a huge grind for him to get like 10 users. But this guy comes on and he's already been doing it. He's already sorted all the other elements, and he was just getting like 30 to 50 users like every day, just bang, 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 bang. And all those people coming in come to BCH from the perspective of, this is useful and I need to use it. This is something I can't do any other way, is pay into these online tournaments with BCH. And so they are going to, firstly, once they get more curious, they're going to find BCH related information they will prioritize as trustworthy, because they already see that it's a working system and it's got value. And then even once they do that, if they try or look into other stuff, they will already be immune to any kind of, you know, Ponzi speculation nonsense, because they'll just say, this is not a fifth of gaming, this is not something I can actually use. So I think that's a lesson that the community, and that's taken him a long time, he's had to do a lot of work to get to that point, but that's how we break into new niches, is just find something, it could be anything, that has BCH plus other thing that you like, and find a crossover.
I think this is also another huge opportunity where potentially gaming and areas like pay to play could be huge in the future, you know, where end users can potentially receive, either through a reward in a competition or a reward by just participating, they you know, they could potentially get Satoshis that way. So it's a huge industry which can be developed. So yeah,
David was the guy who was also in SyncKits, right? He took all the pictures. Yeah, okay, great guy. He's busy. So how can we help David? Where is David? Is David here?
No.
David, if you're listening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll ask him tomorrow when we see him. But the first thing you can do is, you know, go sign up to a Fifth of Gaming. Pick a tournament. Lose $5 to somebody who's better than you at a video game.
I need to speak to David if we can electrify some of the people playing.
Yeah. Well. That'll be the pain game or whatever. Like, this is going to get out of hand pretty quickly. Yeah. If we, I like this. How can we help? Because we, you know, we have the someone meme, yes, right? We've done a good job of, in the past, it was show up, complain about problem, right? And the solution was getting everyone to say, someone needs to fix that. That someone is you. You're the one with the problem. You fix it. We've got to that point. And now we're giving people that feedback. We need to get to someone else has a problem. Maybe that's the new one. Someone else. Yeah. Someone else has a problem. What can you do to help, to be more proactive? Not just I'm have a problem. We've already got plenty of problems. I've got 100 problems that I need solving. But if somebody came to me and said, hey, how can I pitch in? Then, you know, then I'd find something to
that,
do.
Like, that could be a groundbreaking culture of evolution for Bitcoin Cash. How can I help?
Yes. It's simple.
How do we make people, like, literally, if you think in Telegram, like the first thing that someone asks on a particular day, like before they can say anything else, is like, hey, does anyone need any help with their project? What can I do to help? Wow.
Try it for a week. I don't know. Maybe do
you
it.
Try it once for a and day. You're going to get shouted down by those people going, well, you're not going to control me. I'm free.
maybe that happens too. A lot of libertarian. Yeah.
I know the community. But no, it's a great idea. Sorry, do you want to say?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, yes. I was just going to say, and sort of this more motivation, I mean, this is a chance to make history as well. Yeah. You know, it's if you potentially could have what might seem like a fairly sort of small or basic product, but potentially you could have enormous user bases that may use it. And it could be in any area. It might just be gaming, or it could be in retail or adoption. So it could be just even something that might seem trivial in the here and now could have huge implications in the future. So it's a real chance to make history.
You know what I was thinking about? If we start that, if people are saying, how can I help? You know what the biggest change will be, partly in the people asking, obviously, but it will be in the people being asked. Because if somebody came to me and said, how can I help? Well, I have a lot of problems, but I also need to match that to the skills of the person who is coming to me. So then I think, well, how do I scale that up? Maybe I need to, I have a Jira board with upcoming episodes and different ideas and stuff that I have. Maybe we need a better way of, like, a BCH jobs to do board or something that's kind of public. You post that up there.
BCH
I need help with
board.
This.
Yes.
Yeah. And anybody can just come along and pick up, like, you just have a flow left or right, and people can find the tickets that they're most interested in or skilled at or can help with.
Yes, I like this. Hey, we should meet. We should meet more often. Like, can we put some like tokenize this as well? Like, you know, people could earn some token to and you know, by if they get enough of these tokens, you know, they get to speak to you personally, right? Jeremy. Oof. Jeremy spicy. Point. Jeremy point.
Just wait, Jeremy coin, yeah.
Hey, guys, I think I'm going to have to wrap it up. I can hear my voice is cracking. I think that is the sign that I need to sleep. I think it's
10:30.
It's 10:30, yeah. So.
Well, we've been going for 90 minutes then. Maybe we'll wrap it up. I mean, it's going to be a big day tomorrow for everyone, so... Gonna have to get enough sleep. Certainly, I'll be up starting early. We'll be in here getting ready. But now you all know where it is. It's just gonna be in here starting at 9 o'clock. But I'm sure there'll be people around and chatter and all that beforehand. But thank you guys for coming up on stage. Thank you for contributing with some extra comments there in the crowd. And hopefully, Jet, how are we doing on the live stream? What kind of audience did we get? Do you have any idea? Wow, okay. All right, the reach is getting out there.
Shit, I would have thought a bit more about what I was saying. I thought there would be like one or two people.
298 live listeners. Wow, holy crap. Okay, well, shout out to all those 298 people. And I think maybe that's a good point to leave it on there, is I think BCH is getting to a point, like we were talking about it before with Charles Hoskinson or other people, like the eyes are on us. Maybe in the past they weren't, you know, a year or two ago, BCH could be ignored or shit talked or whatever. And maybe even some people are still doing that, but they're starting to clue in, you know, they're going to throw those comments or whatever, but they're going to click on the stream. They're going to be listening into this. They're going to be looking at what the projects are. They're going to be finding their way into some of these, you know, Telegram groups or, you know, Reddit forums, or maybe showing up to a conference. And you never know who it is that is hearing any message that you're putting out there. And a lot of the time it will be, like I had an argument on Reddit with one guy recently who he had some completely crappy take and I sort of dismantled it. And he said, you know, I didn't even really believe in my position. I just came in to like throw mud and see what response I got. You know, I was like poking the bear, like, do you have a good answer or are you just going to dismiss me and tell me to fuck off or whatever? So you really never know who you're talking to, and you certainly don't need to, you know, argue, mud wrestle with the pig, right? You both get dirty, you know, the pig wins, right? So there's no need if somebody's just trolling or being an asshole. You can put them in their place, but just try and keep in mind the signal that it is sending and all the stuff that we're doing, because I think... If we're really starting to, that's what being an industry leader is that you are setting the bar that everybody else starts to measure against. And even if we're not at that point on price, we are getting to that point in terms of, you know, commitment to the original vision, in terms of usability, in terms of adoption. And that's starting to speak really loudly, even with a small community.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I think what you just said there, so I want to wrap this up, but is absolutely on the nail. So like when you're talking with people, I really think people should keep that in mind. Like you're an ambassador to BCH. It's almost like you're a salesperson to a company. You know, the people's impression of you, and not just them when you're talking on social media, when you're writing something, or when we're talking now, right? It's not just who you're talking to, it's all the people that are listening. And so when you're speaking and and answering something, you know, someone's coming in, flinging the mud, and when you're answering them in a way that's, you know, really, you know, well-spoken, it's intellectual, but it's not getting down and dirty. Even if you don't convince that person, it doesn't matter, because the impact you have on the listeners and other people that read that comment or whatever it is really positive. And then people start like tuning in. And I think that's really important. That's why I love, you know, seeing this, again, this change we're seeing in Bitcoin Cash community. Do you want to be right? Or do you want Bitcoin Cash to succeed? And I see more and more people turning towards that, you know, in this change of culture. But thank you very much, Jeremy, for hosting this. Tonight, it's been really great to be on here, and I'm, you know, look at the numbers, you know, that's great, you know, a couple of hundred people tuning in. you know, and I go listen to a lot of spaces on Twitter, like, it's actually quite hard to get those numbers. You know, some spaces have like 20, 30,000. It's crazy, but that's rare, even when there's big people on it. So I think that's testament to your job creating content. So thank you so much for doing all that work and for allowing us to speak.
Well, thanks, guys. So thank you all for tuning in and listening. Thank you guys for being here as well. Live, it's been awesome. BitcoinCashPodcast.com for more info. We'll be on tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Slovenia time, UTC plus 2. Thank you and good night. Exit the CBS.